The word does not say that the seed in man lusts to envy. It says, in fact, that the spirit in man lusts to envy, proving, therefore, that the seed is holy and that the spirit can be good or evil. Man's seed is holy because the seed is given by God. The spirit of man's seed is holy. And, by the way, only a creation of God Almighty. It has no compromise in it. There is no determination ever been made scientifically that there's good seed and bad seed in the sense of good and evil. There might be a DNA in the seed that creates a physical malformity or something like that. But the seed itself, the nature, the essence of the seed is of God and it's good. And while the seed is both spiritual and physical, the seed physically can create a malformity, can create a disability. The seed has never been diagnosed spiritually or characteristically to have flaw. We are a product of influence, and we become what we yield to, what we rise to, good or evil. That's why you can have people that start off life good, lawful people, who become lawbreakers and criminals. And you have people who start off life as criminals and lawbreakers and end up righteous, showing the characteristic of the seed is holy, and that the offspring of the seed of creation, the offspring will become what they yield themselves to. For know ye not, Romans 6:18, to whomsoever you submit yourself, servants to obey, his servants you are, whether unto righteousness or unto unrighteousness. So there is no disfavor, and also there is no demonic procreation ever on the earth. For the angels have not been given in marriage or marry. They're not equipped as such. So the theory that fallen angels had sex with the daughters of men on the earth and giants were formed is erroneous and false in every sense. The Bible concludes that that's a gap, a barrier, a chasm that cannot be crossed. The most that the fallen angels can do and have done is to demonize God's creation, people, demonize them, and those men have, and women, have given themselves to creation, procreation, sexual intercourse, and the seed was good, but the influence, the spirit and influence and spirit of influence over those children as they've grown up has been strictly evil. Created children of the devil. But even as such, all those children will end up having a choice, because all wickedness and evil upon the earth has to pass through the fire of justice, judgment, and truth. If there were nothing but evil on the earth, there would be no evil. And if there were nothing but righteousness on the earth, there would be no righteousness. Both terms are defined by the other and have no meaning apart from each other. Just like the word judgment has no meaning apart from truth, apart from error, apart from sin, apart from law breaking. Judgment is only exercised upon the lawbreaker. So mercy is a term that's used only in the face of judgment. Mercy has no meaning apart from judgment. One must have the other to have sense, to have meaning. So it's not creation that trips us up. It's not creation that fouls us from the beginning. There is no fallen seed. There is no physical judgment or physical law that man fell and his seed became compromised. There's no proof to that. There's no Bible for that. Common sense rejects that. If our seed, since Adam fell, has wickedness in it, then, and that all creation from man's seed, therefore, is subject to wickedness and is wicked because of Adam's sin, and his sin is passed through the seed of man from the time of the fall, then there would be no judgment for sin. If all God's creation, God being just and holy and righteous and true and merciful, and as some people might want to say, he's fair. If God were going to be absolutely just, he could not judge and condemn his creation that was given or created in sin. He could not judge them guilty of sin if they were created in sin. If they were products of sin, he could not judge them, because they being innocent and having no choice over creation, being created or not being created, having no choice of who their parents were, having no choice of where they lived, for him to judge them and cast them into an everlasting lake of fire and brimstone and eternal suffering would be totally unjust and not in keeping with God's character. So we see that there can be no such thing as bad seed. What we have to look at is there's bad instruction, bad influence, bad spiritual upbringing, and bad choices. And he has set the righteous in the earth in an abundance everywhere, so that those lawbreakers and those ignorant of law and ignorant of right, as maybe they were raised, that they themselves have to pass through righteousness on every turn in order to continue their wicked ways. They have to pass through righteousness. And they know before too long what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. They know that. Therefore, they're guilty and without excuse for two reasons. By nature, by everything that's around them, including everything that they see, hear, read, and even think, because of their God conscience. But secondly, they're without excuse because God has put the knowledge of himself in every heart. And that goes beyond saying. Everybody, whether it's the Amazonian Indian or the Donald Trumps of this world, have a God conscience. And they know within themselves, initially in life, what's right and what's wrong. They may exercise themselves unto worldliness, sin, law breaking, you know, covetousness, greed, everything. They may exercise themselves in those things long enough to where their conscience no longer guides them or speaks to them. They may do that. They may be reprobate. But they didn't start off that way. And they themselves have condemned themselves by what they have practiced against the overwhelming evidence, proof, and creation in the world of righteousness. Doing what's right. Knowing what's right. Seeing people who are right. So then there is no excuse.